In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
When we see somebody who's a disabled person, we often hear people say, oh, that's bad luck that that person is that way, or what bad luck. But luck is not a thing. Luck is something that we don't believe in as Orthodox Christians. Chance is not a thing. Chance is basically a word for a bunch of factors that we don't know. So we can talk about chance in a meaningful way, but it just refers to things that we don't know. So for example, if I put a coin in my hand and then I flip it, we say it's random chance as to whether it's heads or tails, but that's just because we don't know how much force we're putting on it when we flip it, and how many times it's going to turn. But if we knew exactly all of those things, we would know exactly whether it was going to be heads or tails. So luck is not a thing. And there's a saying, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And that's an insightful statement, but basically what that means is it's not really luck. It means that there are opportunities that come your way, and if you're prepared and you are able to take advantage of it, then that's what seems like luck to people. Well, we have opportunities all the time when it comes to spiritual healing, and that's every time we have a church service, and particularly every time we have a liturgy. And this man that was by the Pool of Bethesda spent 38 years in a location which is a symbol in many ways of the church itself, of the healing that is available in the church. But he wasn't able to get into that water. There was this was a pool where the sheep were washed before they were sacrificed. And over time, people began to notice that periodically they would see some stirring of the waters. And so people would wash themselves, and eventually they started to see, well, the people would be healed as a result of this. And so they came to notice the first person that washed themselves would be the one that was healed. And so they became aware of this miracle. But it was an infrequent miracle. It was a miracle that was limited in terms of its offer. But the miracles that are available to us in the church, the grace that's available to us in the church, are unlimited. The Pool of Bethesda represents baptism. There's not a limit on how many people can be baptized. We could baptize billions and billions of people, and every time we would have the same effect, that it unites us with Christ and his church. We can take the communion infinitely, and it's never going to run out of its power. But he was in the right place, and he was there for when an opportunity would come. But an opportunity came that he wasn't expecting, and that was Christ himself. It's also worth noting that we're told that Christ came because it was one of the feasts of the Jews. So undoubtedly it was one of the great feasts of the Jews, because the law of Moses said that they were supposed to make the journey to Jerusalem if it was at all possible for them to participate in the worship services and to offer sacrifice. And the fathers tell us that this was probably the feast of Pentecost. And for Christ to walk from the town that he was living in Capernaum to Jerusalem, it was about 100 miles each way. And he made this journey pretty frequently, because we read about that especially in the Gospel of John. So 100 miles, and it wasn't just 100 miles of smooth asphalt road, it was 100 miles going up into the mountains on his way up into Jerusalem. And so Christ is an example for us of how important it is for us to be with the people of God and participate in the worship services of the church. Some of us drive a long way to church. Some people drive more than 100 miles, but we're not walking 100 miles. We're not walking up 100 miles up a mountain. And so even if it's difficult for us to come to church, and even if we're not able to do it all the time, it is something that we need to put forth the effort to do. But another thing that this miracle tells us is the need for patience, because this guy for 38 years didn't give up hope. 38 years is a long time. And for an average lifetime, particularly in those days, that would have been at least half, if not most, of this guy's entire lifetime he spent by this pool waiting for an opportunity to be healed. And for 38 years, when the water would be stirred, which wasn't every day, he watched other people beat him into that pool and get healed, and he wasn't healed, but he didn't give up. Finally, one day, the Lord himself came. And he saw him and saw that he had been there for a long time because probably someone had told him how long he had been there. So he came up to him and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Christ asked us that question, will you be made whole? A lot of the problems that we have, spiritually especially, are the result of us not really wanting to be made whole. I think St. Augustine in his Confessions talks about his youth, and he made some statement along as a line that, "Lord, make me holy, but not yet." Because he was young and he was living the life a lot of people would like to live, a life of sin and pleasure. He had to reach a point where he was finally able to say, "Yeah, I want to be made whole now. I'm willing to give this up." We have to come to a point where we hate our sins and we really want God to heal us. And so we have to be able to answer the question, "Yes, I want to be made whole. I'm ready to give these things up." Now, in this guy's case, we know that illness is not always caused by sin, although sin always causes spiritual illness, but it can cause physical illnesses as well. But in this guy's case, we're told later on in this gospel story that, as a matter of fact, it was because of his sin. When he was made whole, where does Christ find him? He finds him in the temple. So this guy, again, was in the right place. He spent 38 years by a place where he believed that he could be healed, and finally he was. And where did he go after that? He didn't go on a party with his friends or anything like that. He was in the temple thanking God. And Christ came to him and said, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." So when we've been made whole, we need to endeavor by God's grace to not fall back into the same things. And God is merciful and God is patient with us. Christ tells us in the Gospels that we should forgive not just 7 times as he was asked in the question, but 70 times 7, which doesn't mean that we take that literally and that when you finally hit 70 times 7 worth of forgiveness that you're out of luck. What that means is infinitely we should forgive. And if God tells us that that's how we should forgive other people, then we know that God is not less merciful than he's asking us to be. So God is patient and he is merciful, and if we fall, he's there to forgive us. But we also have to cooperate with him, and we have to strive to live a holy life and not work against what he's trying to do in our life. If you're struggling with some sin, you have to be patient, but you also have to want to be healed. You have to be ready to turn away from the sin that you have enjoyed so much in the past. You have to come to the point where you hate them, because you need to see them the way that God sees them. Because sins, we wouldn't do them if there wasn't any pleasure involved in them, or if there wasn't some aspect of it that was appealing. But what pleasure we find in sin is only to our own destruction. And so if we see not just the fleeting pleasure or joy that we get out of sin, but their ultimate destruction, then we would be able to turn away from that. If you knew that you had a bucket of ice cream and it tasted really good, but that it had arsenic in it and it was eventually going to kill you, you wouldn't keep eating that ice cream. You'd say, I don't care how good it tastes, it's got arsenic in there and it's going to kill me. Well, that's the way sin is. It will destroy you spiritually, and so you have to say, I don't care, I'm not going to enjoy the goodness of it, because I know there's too much badness in it and it's going to kill me. Once healed, we've got to change directions. We've got to endeavor by God's grace to live the rest of our life for him and to draw ever closer to him. We're always moving in one direction or another. It's very difficult for somebody to really stay stagnant spiritually. You're either making progress or you're falling back. We need to strive to always be making progress, and it may be just a little bit of progress, and sometimes we may not even be able to see it, but we need to not give up and always strive to come closer to Christ and trust in him for his healing, because we're like the paralytic on our own. There's no man that's able to get us into the water. We're unable to help ourselves. Only God can help us, but God expects us to cooperate, and he asks us, "Wilt thou be healed?" The answer that we need to give him is yes, and then to cooperate with him from there and go and sin no more. Amen.